Meeting at 7:01. The invocation will be done by Mr. Flowers, and Mr. Maneras will be doing our flag salute.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come praising and thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to assemble together on this evening, Lord God. Lord God, I ask you to just have your way in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Use us to thy glory, O God. Just bless this board, Lord God. Give us a wisdom, knowledge, and direction in which we should lead. Bless the district, Lord God. Bless the superintendent, the staff, and bless the teachers, O God. And last but not least, Lord God, I ask you to bless our students, Lord God. Use them in the way they need to be used. Take their hand, Lord God, and lead them down that path of righteousness. We pray for the district as a whole, Lord God. Just have your way in our lives. These are blessings we ask in thy name.
If you would please join me in reciting our Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Fuller?
Here.
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 Mr. Bonatis?
Present.
Ms.
Shoemaker?
Here.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Dr. Hinman?
Here. There's nothing to report out in closed session this evening, so that will bring us to the hearing sessions. I have nothing to report this evening. Board of Education report and legislative updates. Does anybody have anything they would like to report?
I was informed today, we talked about ROP and two districts possibly joining. The update is we have not received a formal proposal, so we do not expect that if they do a proposal, they'll actually join in the upcoming school year. So nothing is going on there.
Thank you for that report.
Yes. Also,
Mr. Like Flowers.
This week, we had the Martin Luther King event, and at the courtyard. It was a very wonderful occasion, and it was exciting. Each year it gets better and better, so next year, if you guys missed it, you're in for a treat. A lot of singing, a lot of food, and barbecue, catfish, you know, whatever you want, they had it. Also, we had a community service group meeting on this week, and every year we have the community come together, all the community service groups come together, and we do a project. We may clean up a park, we may fix up somebody's yard, clean up someone's yard in the city that's kind of decrepit and worn down. And we used to do it in October. So this year we're going to do it like springtime. We're going to have like a spring cleaning. And I advise you guys, you've never been a part of what community service, come be a part of this. And at the end of it, and about midday, we get together, we meet at the courtyard, we have a big barbecue. All you can eat. We use buckboard barbecue, so they cater the service. So that's another occasion. And what it is all about promoting volunteerism. And that's what the cleanup project we do. It's going to be in the spring. And also, May 18th, we talked about the night out of the town. The Lions host the night out of the town. So what they have, this occasion, they bring different restaurants, different organizations around the city. You know, they serve food. You might have, you know, all different kind of food venues you can eat. They have wine. They have beer. So some of you adult beverages, and they have just a great entertainment. They have live entertainment also. So it's just some of the things that we got going on. So, and also the West Covina Sunrise Rotary is hosting a play at the Grove on February 28th. It's called the Little Mermaid. And if last time they did one, they had the Mary Poppins, and what a treat it was. So if this play is anything like Mary Poppins, you're in for a treat. And what it is, the fee is $30. What you have, they're also going to serve food. And for the kids, they have a drink. And for the adults, they have wine. But it's what a magnificent play. And all the proceeds, the money is raised, goes towards shoes and socks for the most needy school kids in our district. So if anybody's interested in coming, you can call the district and see me. Our tickets will be $30. But every dime that we get goes towards shoes and socks for the most needy kids in our district. And this past year, some of you might not know, we gave shoes and socks to 200 of our most needy school kids in our district. And every Christmas time we do that. So the more money we raise, the more we're able to do more for the district as a whole. So if you guys can want to be a part of it, see the Little Mermaid. And it's February 28th. It's from 12 o'clock it starts. The food starts serving at 12 and the play starts at 2. What a magnificent opportunity and wonderful time you would have. So if you guys are interested, just get in touch with the district and they would be able to get in touch with me. Thank you.
Jimenez.
Okay, I agree. The Martin Luther King event was excellent, and they've structured it so that it's like a festival. So they had a lot of student performances, some of them from students within our boundaries, some of them from students outside of our boundaries. The keynote speaker, Mr. Danny Harris, who's the 1984 silver medalist in the hurdles, was their keynote speaker, and he has a movie coming out really soon. So, of course, looking out for the district, I asked him that when his movie comes out, would he consider coming to West Covina, showing it at Edwards with a Q&A session with maybe some of either the people featured in his documentary or maybe some of the film producers. I thought it would be a great opportunity for students to get a real piece of history, which made me think also of Kermit, and that when that movie comes to fruition, being able to have a showing at the Edwards Theater that would be beneficial to our students would be amazing. So he was really good. His story is very inspiring from a difficult bringing up as a youth and then in turn going to the Olympics and then not making the 88 Olympics. That was very devastating because just months earlier he broke even more records. To homelessness and drugs, and then recovering, rebounding from that, and doing successful things with his life. Very inspiring. So I'm really hoping that we could collaborate in some way. Legally Blonde, the musical from West Covina High, was awesome. I took my family, my mother, my niece, my girls, and we all loved it. Well done. The Cal Poly location was excellent. There was plenty of room. It wasn't crowded like the Covina Performing Arts Center, downtown Covina. It was really well done. The kids did a phenomenal job. Loved the background. The music was really good. So hats off to West Covina High for putting together a great musical. And I hope the location works out with us for future productions. It's a good size. It felt homey enough, but yet large enough that it was like, wow, you're really at a theater, a big one. So thanks to West Covina High School for that as well.
Okay. Student representative, is there anything to report this evening?
Yes, thank you. Starting with Edgewood High School, Edgewood will be hosting their second blood drive tomorrow, all day from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the EHS gym, hosted by the City of Hope. Also, Edgewood's ASB will be hosting Varsity Boys Senior Night on Friday, January 29th. ASB will be celebrating all the senior participants before the game. Drama Club will be having their first ever talent show in the Edgewood Cafe at 6 p.m. The talent show will be showcasing Edgewood's most talented students. Cheer and Song will be hosting their annual Shark Cheer Competition in the EHS Gym on Sunday, February 7th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Edgewood will be having their Spring Awards Night on Wednesday, February 10th at 5 p.m. in the EHS gym. Edgewood will be recognizing students' academic achievement for first semester. Edgewood's boys basketball team will be hosting their annual Power 106 game in the EHS gym on Thursday, February 11th at 7 p.m., where teachers and staff will also compete against Power 106 celebrities. Edgewood's ASB will also be hosting this year's Sadie's Dance EHS Music Fest on Saturday, February 13th in the EHS gym from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Moving on to West Covina, the Kaplan representative was at school today to review the PSAT scores with 10th and 11th graders. West Covina's theater and choir collaboration of Legally Blonde was a huge success. Congratulations to Ms. Segura and Mr. Wigglesworth and the cast and crew. Winter Celebration took place on Saturday, January 23rd, where West Covina High School Dance hosted schools from all over Southern California for an all-day dance competition. On Thursday, January 28th, there will be an AP capstone project lead the way information night at West Covina High School to share information about upcoming programs. Also, the Leo's Club will be hosting their annual fashion show on Friday, January 29th in the cafeteria. Proceeds will benefit the affiliate Lions Club. On February 2nd, Avid will be celebrating with a ceremony in the cafeteria. The Sadie Hawkins Dance is Saturday, February 6th from 7 to 11 p.m. in the gym. Kindness Week was sponsored by the ASB Renaissance and the Kindness Club, will be February 9th through the 12th. There will be activities and events all week that support kindness and inclusion for all students. The 24th annual Mr. Bulldog pageant will take place on Friday, February 14th, who will be crowned for Mr. Bulldog. Moving on with Coronado High School, Coronado will be preparing for their one-day WASC visit on February 2nd, where they can't wait to share all the great things happening at Coronado. Also, they recently had a visit from Universal Technical Institute and Mount Zach and held a field trip to ROP. These meetings help their students make wise choices for after graduation. Also, Coronado's last basketball game will be next week, and they are preparing for their co-ed softball. Lastly, their cultural awareness group is hiking at Monrovia Canyon Park this Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you. Informal report?
Thank you, President Polis. I'm going to kind of go in reverse order tonight and leave Mr. Seaman's important announcement for last, and I'll start with Ms. Knutson.
Good evening. I just wanted to tag a little bit on to Board Member Shoemaker's comments about ROP. I did meet with Dr. Adler and the ROP team today, and we've gotten some good news. We applied for a CTE, a career tech grant. I want to congratulate Dr. Duncan and Coordinator Margaret Green, as well as our two high school principals. It's looking good. It looks like we have received the grant. We're just waiting to hear the dollar amount. So we'll be moving forward with developing our career pathways at both high schools. So that's great news.
Thank you. Dr. Coghlan.
So our facility needs assessment that we approved at the last board meeting are underway. We have five schools remaining. The architect and Mr. Larkin are going out to school sites, meeting with representatives at those schools to determine what the needs are and to prioritize those needs. And it's come to my attention, there's some chatter out there that this is all about the district going out for a bond. And yes, facility needs assessment can be part of that process. I want to assure the board and the public that what's going on right now are the facility needs assessment. And that determination of whether or not the district's going out for a bond, that has not been made at this time. We'll be bringing back the information from the school sites at future board meetings and presenting those to the board. And we look forward to sharing that information with you.
Thank you. Mr. Seaman.
I'm actually going to make mine a little more formal.
All right.
Right. I bring a helper with me.
Step stool?
No, you'll be fine. I want to introduce our new director of special education. We're doing this now because when she was approved, she was actually up in Monterey at the big special education symposium and getting all the up-to-date information. So this is Diana Casado, who comes to us with 33 years of experience in education, 13 of those as a teacher in general ed and special ed, and 20 of those as an administrator, from a SELPA director to a special ed coordinator to a director of special ed and people services, and most recently from Oceanside District. She comes truly from an education family. She has a blended family with five children. Husband's a retired principal, and two daughters are teachers. One is a school psychologist. So she brings with her a lot of experience to our district, and we're glad to have her here for the last week. She's been here for a week.
Well, I must say it's been a week. I've been really excited to be here, and thank you so much for the warm welcome. Those sites I have visited have just been really, really welcoming to me. I've met a lot of people, some parents. Just looking forward to joining your family and doing some good things for our kids. So thank you for the welcome.
Thank you for joining our family.
I would also like to share that I had the opportunity to see Legally Blonde, the musical. And even though after that Santa Baby performance I had my doubts, but I now have full confidence in the West Covina. musical program. It was outstanding. I just want to second something Dr. Coghlan said, just touch on a little bit more. You know, because the architect has gone out and met with these constituent groups, including teachers and administrators and students, you know, rumors do run abound. I actually heard a rumor today that not only were we building a theater, but exactly where it was going to go. So I would ask the public's help and staff as well to be really sure to get that message out. There are a lot of people with a lot of great ideas. At this stage, there's nothing more. We're asking our school community, what are our needs? This is a needs assessment. What are the most vital things that we need to do to upgrade our facilities, number one? And number two, if you could dream big, what would it be? Those are two fair questions that are being asked. Out of that, you'll hear some things that we're doing, but I'm sure everyone, a needs assessment is not a funding to go forth and do virtually anything. That would be another discussion another time, and it gives the board a priority list to work from as to what are the most vital things to do within the funding stream that we do have, or consider is this something urgent enough that we need to go beyond that. So I just want to make that really clear. So thank you.
Items from the floor. There's going to 5 minutes allotted per person and 20 minutes per subject. This isn't a chance to dialogue with the board. We're going to hear what the public needs to say on different issues. And then if you have a proposal or something you would like to give, you can hand it off to Monica. And somebody will get back to you with your questions shortly, depending on, it looks like we might only have one item. I haven't seen all the blue cards. But somebody will get back, depending on what the questions are. And we might have a better idea if they're all in the same area. So the first one. Monica?
That was a great segue, by the way. All right, so I'm Mrs. Cisneros. I'm from Holland Crest Middle School. So good evening, members of the school board, Dr. Hinman, district administration, teachers, parents, and community members. I'm here tonight on behalf of the students and teachers of Holland Crest Middle School over the issue of our heating and cooling system. For the past 20 years, had prior administration, including our current admin, come in and bring that issue to the district multiple times concerning our heating and our cooling system that we have currently. We know that the system was built in 1963, and today it's just not economically efficient or practical for our school. After 20 years of advocating for a new efficient system, we have yet to accomplish this. We have classes that are either too hot or too cold. As we as a school, we can only choose to have either heat or air, not both, in a lot of our classes. It is not practical in this day and age. We have students whom are freezing in the classrooms, or it is too hot and it's affecting our learning environment. For example, we have science teachers who cannot successfully complete an experiment because it was too cold in the room for it to work. Another teacher's thermostat has not worked in 5 years, and that's because, you know, the district has not had the necessary programming to fix it. It's old technology. Another teacher is having issues with their projector overheating due to our heating system being turned on recently. It's too hot in the room for it to even cool down throughout the day. For myself, I arrive at school around 6:45 in the morning, ready to get my day started. However, my classroom is an icebox when I walk into it. And therefore, I tend to have to stay in my car with the heat, which prevents me from being productive as I like to be. Therefore, we're asking the district and the board to please consider updating our heating and cooling system at Holland Crest Middle School. And we know it takes time. We know it's not going to be an immediate change. But 20 years is a bit too long for us to be fighting for it, so I thank you guys for your time. Thank you.
Good evening, school board. My name is Angelique, and I'm a student at Holland Crest Middle School. Holy Cross strives to provide an excellent education for our students. However, Holy Cross students and staff have to deal with work and learning environment that is extremely cold in the classrooms. This is counterproductive in our school's mission statement. We're the only school in the district that does not have a functional heating and air system that works. We are an outdated heating and cooling system in which we either have air or heat. This requires someone from the district to come out and physically change the controls, either heat or air. The district takes at least a week for the order to be processed. If we want to change the controls, the same order has to be put into the district. Currently, we have students and staff freezing inside the classrooms. These conditions are not conducive to a learning environment. The students are coming dressed in layers with beanies, gloves, scarves, and even blankets to keep them warm. Different classrooms require different elements. For example, the teachers who have period one preps, they do not have any students to help heat the classrooms so they freeze. Teachers whose rooms are on the end caps are much colder than those in between. Computer labs are warmer, so they usually need air to regulate their rooms, but when our system is on heat, they have none. We have no way to regulate our rooms as needed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Hello. Good evening. My name is Sonia Dador, and I'm a student at Holland Crest Middle School. I'm here tonight concerned about our very old heating and cooling system. I know that all of the other schools in our district have the system that works using their control box in their classrooms to adjust to heat or air. Our system requires a work order so that maintenance has to come to Holland Crest and switch the system to either heat or air. We cannot have both. I and the rest of the students at Holland Crest feel it is time for an upgrade. When I heard how old the system was, I was shocked. A lot of the teachers at Holland Crest are younger than this relic. This system was installed in 1963. That was 53 years ago. I really care that we get a new system because it is tough wearing layers of clothes to school in the morning because it is freezing in our classrooms. Students are even bringing blankets. Teachers are buying space heaters, and even worse, in the afternoons when it gets warm, we have no air conditioning. My point is, we need a new unit that benefits our students and teachers, one that we can control in the classroom ourselves. Thank you for listening, and I hope you do something about this situation.
My name's Lisa Sauer. I'm a grandmother of a student at Holland Crest Junior High School, middle school, old school here, we used to call them junior highs. And again, it's in regards to the heating and air conditioning system. As you have heard, the system has been in place since 1963, and apparently the school came down for a while, and it was brought back up a couple years later, and it was never... Nothing was ever done about it. It remained the way that it was. I'm not sure if you're aware, but when we're referring to this antiquated system, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, there's like a container out there that is filled with water, and if they need to have warm air, they need to warm up the water in order for it to work or something like that. It's just too old. I'm floored when I hear something like this. As they have stated, it takes a mechanic to come in and fix it, and I have heard that if a mechanic is not familiar with the system there, and if they place the setting on a system called Snowflake, it completely freezes the whole tank, and that probably takes even forever to get it going. With what we have now with this global warming and this El Nino effect, I mean, I can't understand how... we can have a system where if we have to call to get it heated up, just as this week is a perfect example. It's beautiful out there. I mean, we've got a beautiful week, but now I hear it's going to rain. So now we have to have a nice, cool system and then take another week in order to get the heat to come back up. And that's just not a good thing for the children, because then you have them getting sick. You have a lot of children who can't work in conditions where it's cold one day and then hot a couple of days later on. As they've stated here, my granddaughter, she'll take jackets, she takes extra clothes and stuff, and then when it's too hot, she's got to stuff it in her bag, and that bag is heavy enough to be carrying around. So it's just not right for the children. I understand, and this is something that I haven't looked into yet, but I've kind of heard about it. It's called the Williams Act, and it has something to do with having the students having equal access to instructional materials and for safe and to have safe facilities. And it's not yet what I would call an unsafe thing, but it's just inadequate, and it's something that needs to be taken care of. One of you mentioned something about a needs assessment, that they went out looking at it, and I think you mentioned that, you know, what do our facilities need? Another one, if you could dream big, what could you have here? I really would hope that the board looks at what we need first before those big dreams come into place. I can't imagine, when I think of other cities around here, for instance, and I know this is going from one scale to another, but at Beverly Hills would never have a system like this. And I know a lot of our other schools here have a better system than what Hollingcrest has. And yes, it has been going on for quite a few years, and I'm sure every principal that has sat in that office has come here and mentioned to you once and time before about this system. So I really do hope that you really take this into consideration. Thank you for listening to me.
Good evening. My name is Oscar Acosta. I'm one of the parents of a student at Hollingcrest. And just like you heard from all the parents and the students, there's a concern about the students' performance based on the weather. Most of us wouldn't work in an office that has no proper air conditioning or circulation systems. My reason to be here is there's a Proposition 39 that was voted on 2013 and 14. And the Energy Department of Energy voted this to make a lot of buildings, including educational buildings, more efficient so they comply with these requirements. One of the processes is to just have an assessment, just like you mentioned, and talk about, to go there and look at the systems. And if they qualify for the systems, they will have the funding to get them upgraded. And this Proposition 39 also applies for solar systems and HVAC systems. So I believe that our school, being old, needing the proper repairs, is probably a good candidate for the system to be implemented. So that's the only reason why I'm here, to let you know that there are resources out there. It just probably needs the proper research from our part, the board of directors, to just get the right process started and hopefully get the fundings. That's my concern, and like I said, I think most of us will not be working in an office that has no air conditioner or no proper ventilation. So thank you for listening.
Is there any additional people who would like to have comments at this time? There's no more additional blue cards. Seeing no one, that will conclude that portion. I do want to let you know that someone will be getting back to you on this issue within the week. They'll contact the principal and hopefully set up a meeting with him, and he can decide how the superintendent and the principal can decide how to move forward gathering more information. I appreciate your comments. Thank you. That moves us to the business portion of our meeting. Is there anything anybody would like to take off of consent? Can you take a break? Is there anything anyone would like to add to consent?
C4, if we can. The use of the sole source vendor, ServSmart. It's on the last page. Yes.
Is everyone okay with that? Okay, we are going to put in C4 on consent. Are there any further changes?
Can we add D? Did you mean D4? Oh, sorry. D4. You were right. D4 is different. I'm getting used to all this.
Thank you, Ms.
Shoemaker. Thank you, Ms. Shoemaker.
And so it's D4 would be the change. Will someone move the agenda and consent item as amended?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
It was moved by Eileen Jimenez and seconded by Mike Flowers to approve the agenda and consent item as amended for the regular meeting of January 26, 2016. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously, and it's been requested that we take a 2-minute